And when you were younger, you went where you wanted, but then you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you in the future. And that is how Peter died. Peter was crucified in Rome, like Jesus was crucified in Jerusalem. But Peter said, I'm not worthy to die like my Savior. And so crucify me upside down. And so that's why he was crucified upside down. That's what Jesus was talking about here. And just to explain, 153 fish, they didn't take the time to count all the fish. Why would they do that? St. Augustine, there are things that God has clarified for us and given us answers to from the scriptures, and other things that he's never given us the answer to, like the 153. And so St. Augustine, he said, you know, at that time, that was the number of fish species that they knew of in the seas and in the ocean. And so John uses that to symbolize all the world, all the people of the world. Jesus Christ died for all human beings, past, present, and future. His church is for all human beings, to save all human beings, past, present, and future. That's one theory about what Augustine said. I can understand why Peter was distressed, it said. He knew he loved the Lord. And so three times Jesus is saying, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And if you know you're telling the truth and someone keeps doubting you, you're going to get distressed. It's very frustrating when you're saying, why are you doubting me? I'm telling you the truth. And you keep saying, do you love me? Do you love me? And that's why Peter got frustrated and distressed, because he knew he was devoted to the Lord. And yet he knew he wasn't perfect. Jesus had to forgive him three times because he denied him three times. And Peter was so, I guess self-hatred would be the word, so much shame about what he had done. And he was living with that shame, and there was no one to take it away, because Peter had done it. And so it took Jesus to take that away. That's why the three times. Peter, three times you shamed yourself. Three times I take your shame away. And that's what he does for us in the confessional, so that we can begin again. Because Jesus knew Peter was in no shape to be the first pope, to be the first holy father of his church. He wasn't ready for that. So Jesus says, I need to heal you. You and I are not ready for the potential that we have. Do you know that God sees our potential? Jesus could see. He knew the potential in his apostles. He says, you've been with me for 3 years, and I see your potential. He always sees our potential. He knows our past. He knows our present. But he sees what we can become in the future. He sees the saints that he has in mind for us. Do you see the saint that he has in mind for you? He does. He does. A beautiful person, an amazing person, just like Peter, in love with God. And yet Peter had his weaknesses. And yet he had his strengths. He was a strong personality. He was the leader. He was given the keys to the kingdom. That's why he's the first pope. Jesus says, I will build my church on you, on your faith, Peter. Here are the keys. Keys are authority to teach. The Pope has the authority to teach. Peter had the authority to teach in two areas, faith and morality. Faith, there's one God, but there's three persons in that one God. That's faith. The second person is Jesus Christ, and he is eternal. He is divine. Faith. He came to earth 2,000 years ago. God created human beings perfectly in relationship with him, but we broke covenant with him, Adam and Eve, sin. So there was a promise of a redeemer. That redeemer is Jesus Christ. In baptism, we are forgiven original sin and filled with the Holy Spirit. Heaven, hell, and purgatory are real. Angels are real. Demons are real. Those are all of our teachings on faith, right? Mary is immaculately conceived. People who die, they know what's going on here on earth. The real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. Those are all faith. And then morality. Morality. What is right and what is wrong morally? This is where the Pope is protected to teach correctly. That doesn't mean he's going to be perfect. Peter was not perfect. but he did teach correctly. Hopefully I am teaching you correctly, even though I'm not perfect. And so God never told me where I was supposed to put the Paschal candle. We just thought it would be best there, but he didn't tell me. It could be right, it could be wrong. He doesn't tell me who to hire for the parish. I do the best I can. You know, he doesn't tell me all those things, so I could make mistakes in those things. But in the teaching of faith and morals, hopefully I won't make any mistakes because I listen to the church. That's the divine opinion, and I give that to you. And that's what the popes do. That's what all the popes have done. And that's what Peter did. And yet he wasn't perfect. He had his moments. I always kind of thought of Peter, we always think of him as the older one, right? He's like John is the young one, 20 years old or something, and Peter was older, 40 years old, and maybe part of that was because he had that position of authority. Part of it is because when John and Peter ran to the tomb, John outran Peter, so they figured John was young. But we've always thought of Peter, and Mel Gibson portrayed Peter and John as Peter was older, like in his 40s, 40s, 50, 40s, and then John was young in his 20s. I've always kind of thought of Peter, we have our deacons and then myself, and I've always thought of Peter as being more like Deacon Tom and Deacon Gary and Deacon Mike. And I've always thought of Deacon Ray and myself as more like John. So if you think of Deacon Ray and myself, that's kind of more like John. And then if you think of Deacon Tom, Deacon Michael, and Deacon Gary, that's how I picture Peter. They're stronger personalities than we are. We are softer personalities because God made us that way. And we each have our strengths and we each have our weaknesses. In a garden, you have to have all kinds of flowers, all kinds of vegetables for everything to work, right? In the church, in the world, you have to have all kinds of vegetables, all kinds of flowers, all kinds of personalities, all kinds of abilities. So God made you the way he made you. And he needs you as you. And that made Peter a strong leader. It also, he had his weaknesses because of that too. It made him kind of impetuous, right? He did make mistakes. But he did, the one thing he had, he loved the Lord. And that's the one thing our deacons and I have. We love Christ. The five of us are not good mathematicians, but we all love the Lord. We are as dedicated to Jesus Christ as Peter was, as Pope Francis was, and Pope Benedict, and Pope John Paul. Those are the three that I've known. And I look forward to knowing our next pope, who that's going to be, which we will probably have this time next week, right? The conclave starts on Wednesday, and they take the first vote Wednesday night. They'll do Mass at St. Peter's, all the cardinals, 130 cardinals that will be voting. Out of the 333 cardinals around the whole world, but you have to be under 80 to vote. And so they'll celebrate Mass at St. Peter's Basilica. They'll invoke the Holy Spirit, and then they'll process to the Sistine Chapel. They'll lock the doors, and they'll take the first vote that night, Wednesday night. And they'll take two votes that night. And they'll all put the name of who they think. And did you know I could be Pope? Did you know that who can be Pope? Any baptized male can be elected pope. I could get a phone call Wednesday night. Hey, Father Chuck, you're going to be our next pope. Oh my gosh, I'd say no way. Yeah. No, you have to be, I mean, the pope is a president of a country. The pope meets with President Putin and President Trump and all those people. He's a spiritual leader. He's a moral leader. He's a total man of God, but he's a diplomat, too. He's a politician. He has to work with all the world leaders. That just scares me to death. This is me. I love paradise. This is me. This is where I fit. And any baptized male. But it always now is coming from within the cardinals. So they all kind of have an idea already because they all know each other. They know what's going on in the church around the world, and they know which cardinals really have that, I guess you'd call it a skill set, right? The holiness, the character, the skill set. And they're already all kind of talking right now, and they're kind of, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? And then the votes will come in, and they'll all write their vote on a piece of paper. They all process up the Sistine Chapel, up the center of it, put their vote in a chalice, a big chalice. And then one by one, they take out the votes. Vote number one, Father Chuck, Paradise, California. Okay. Vote number two. And then they all see who voted for who. And right then, they can get an idea of, okay, most of the cardinals are leaning towards these two or three or four usually cardinals that they already kind of had in mind. And that directs them for the second vote, because one person has to get two-thirds of the votes, which is something like 77 or 78 or 80-something votes. So they'll go, okay, so out of these four, I'll think in the second vote, I'll vote for this one. And that's where you see the votes start to narrow down, and you get more votes for just one or two or three. And that's how they do it. And then they get up, and because in the first vote, nobody usually has two-thirds, they put all the pieces of paper, they put a special chemical on it, and they burn it, and that chemical makes it burn black. And then the smoke comes out black of wherever that chimney is in St. Peter's. And everybody goes, black smoke, no pope. And then they vote the next day. And usually by the third or fourth vote, they do two votes in the morning and two votes in the afternoon. They all pray before every vote. And they pray after every vote. So yes, you have the human thing of, well, what do you think? What do you think? This guy would be good. He'd be a good leader. And then you have the divine, where deep down we believe the Holy Spirit is going to be working through those cardinals, and that's what they pray for. Get my ego out of the way. Get my pride, get my opinion, get my humanity out of the way so that your will can choose. That's what the cardinals are praying. And usually by the second day or the third day, they get it down and one person gets two-thirds of the votes. And then they say to that person, do you accept? And if he says yes. And then they say, what name have you chosen? Gives the name. And then that's when the one cardinal comes out to St. Peter's. And what do they say? Abem and Papam or something like that. I do Spanish, not Latin, but we have a pope. We have a pope, and then the new pope comes out. So usually they start on Wednesday, so probably Thursday or Friday, we will know. We will have a new pope. That's how it works. And that pope will be in a line of something like 270-something popes we've had. And Essence and Connor, if you could take those Bibles that we're going to now give to you, you want to open up the first page or two or three or four and tell me, is there a list of all of our popes? Most Catholic Bibles have a list of all the popes that we've had. I've seen a poster of all 270 whatever popes with their pictures. I have no idea where they got the selfies from Jesus' time, but it's not in there. Okay. But a lot of the Bibles, take a look at your Catholic Bible, because there'll be a list of all the popes. We're the only church that goes all the way back to Peter. And I thank God for that. So thank you, Peter. What he had was his weaknesses and his strengths. He had his God-given humanity, and he gave that to Jesus. Here I am, Lord. I love you. This is what I can give you. I am devoted to you. Do you love me, Peter? Are you devoted to me? Or are you just living for yourself, trying to get what you can from this life, from this world? And each one of us needs to really look in the mirror and say, am I devoted? Do I love the Lord? Am I devoted to Jesus Christ like Peter was, like the apostles were? Because I'm supposed to be hovering above the broken sinfulness of this world. Hovering above gossip, hovering above cussing and criticizing and judging, hovering above all the impurity. We hover with Christ. That's what the apostles learned to do. So don't get discouraged. Jesus had a beautiful vision for Peter, and he fulfilled that. He has a person, he has a saint in each one of us. And he takes us with our good and our bad, and he says, I'll form you. What I need is your love. I need you to be devoted to me. and then I can work, and then I can work powerfully in this world. Peter, intercede for us. Holy Spirit, guide our cardinals this week.